going to talk this morning on something very simple, very basic, and it's about salvation. If I was to ask you this morning what salvation was about, and I ask you, well, should you just come up here and stand on your head to get salvation? Or should you just come up here and just bow down to get salvation? What about if I told you all that you had to do was get baptized to have salvation? What if I told you that, you know what, if you spoke in tongues, that was evidence of the Holy Ghost and that was salvation here? What if I told you all that stuff this morning? You know what? People make things out sometimes to be so difficult. Whenever salvation is so basic, it's so easy. Jesus Christ made it so a little child could understand it. Amen? Why do we as men sometimes have to make it so difficult? Can anybody tell me that? I'm going to be talking today about the Roman road. How many of you have heard about the Roman road? Lift your hand. A lot of you in here have. But I'm going to tell you something. That's what I'm going to be talking about. It's what I'm talking about when I'm talking about the Roman road. It's found in the book of Romans, and it tells you the basic truth about salvation, how to get it, and praise God. You know what? This is what we need. This is what everybody needs. So we're going to be in Romans, the 6th chapter, start, and I'm just going to read this verse. I'm going to be all over Romans, but one verse I'm going to read to start out with, Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. Let us pray. Father, as we come, Lord, this morning, I want to come with thanksgiving in my heart this morning. I want to thank you for the opportunity that I have to stand behind this desk this morning. I want to thank you, Lord, for your love, for your mercy, for your staying power, for your grace that you have given, Lord, down through my life, Lord. I pray, Father, this morning now, Lord, that the message would go out the way that you would have it to go out. I pray hearts to be receptive, Lord. I pray, Lord, that whatever said and done here this morning was for your glory, for your honor, for the uplifting of your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray and ask, and amen. Amen. The title of my sermon this morning is Landmarks. Like I told you, I'm going to be talking about the Roman road this morning. But you know what? In the past 25 years, Tink and myself have been blessed, and we have been privileged to travel across this country and go to different places in this country. We have seen some amazing sights. We have. We've seen some scenic highways. We've seen some majestic mountains. We've seen, you know, mighty rivers and majestic mountains and oceans and lakes. You know, we've seen a lot of different things. And when we were traveling, we have seen landmarks as we go across this land. We've seen them. And one of the landmarks we've seen last September, I'll just share with you, was called Devil's Tower. And I don't know if any of you have ever seen that or ever been to that, but one of the things that made it most popular was Close Encounters of the Third Kind, if you're a movie buff. It's where these aliens supposedly landed on top of this thing. Well, we went and seen it. And we looked, and this thing is like 1,200 feet high, and it's flat up on top, but it raises up out of the eastern plains of Wyoming, where it raised. Me and her started out through there. She wasn't real impressed with it, really. If you ask her, it's not one of her best things we've seen. But as you start out through there, I forget how many miles it was off the interstate, but you could see it setting in the distance. And it just stood out by itself out there, and you could look at it and you could see it. So as we drove towards it, there was no doubt in my mind that, you know what, I seen it, and I knew that it was a landmark, and I knew just exactly what it was, and I hadn't even been to it before, and I seen it. And like I said, sometimes they help you to know where you're at, and sometimes they help you to remember where you've been when you've been talking about a landmark. That's why I'm going to get into this here in just a little bit, so bear with me. Landmarks are defined as this. A landmark is an object, a feature, or a landscape, or a town, in a town that is easily seen, recognized from a distance, especially one, now listen to this and remember this, especially one that enables someone to establish their location. Let me ask you a question this morning. Where are you with your service in the Lord this morning? Where's your location at with Him this morning? Are you where you should be with Him? Amen? Are you there? And that's the question. That's what I'm saying is, Devil's Tower could be easily seen, and once I got there, I recognized I was in Wyoming, in the eastern part of Wyoming. I could see that. Let me give you one closer. Maybe you don't realize this. I went to revival with Claire and Ryan here, it's been a year or two ago. And Claire told me to meet him down at the Y. This is the guy who gets lost in Ravenswood. So I'm thinking, okay, is the Y right down here? We go up Independence Road? Is that it? And that's a Y there, right? Claire said, no, it's on down. It's on down the road a little farther. How many of you know where the Y really is? Oh, yeah, look at this. This is great. This is great. That's a landmark to you guys. If I told you where the Y is, all of you know where it's at. I didn't know where it was at. At the time, I do now. But you know what? That's why I want to tell you this. You know what? That's how many of you have heard that. You haven't. So that's what I'm saying. There are specific verses that clearly explain the plan of salvation, and they are landmarks in the Word of God. That's why I call it, why it's been called for years, the Roman Road. And along this Roman Road are landmarks that tell you and show you just how salvation, how clear, how plain, and how simple salvation should be to us. As I began to study this week, I seen these landmarks. I could see them. And I was trying to say, Lord, how can I embellish this in a sermon? And how can I bring this all together? And praise God, I hope I can get this point across to you this morning. Some of you, I don't know your hearts this morning here this morning, and I hope and pray God, there may be someone here that's lost this morning. I don't know. But if you are lost this morning, I will tell you at the end of this sermon this morning, I want you to understand something, that you can be saved, that Jesus Christ can come into your heart. He can walk with you on a daily basis. He can go with you. He can go with you all the way to the end of your life. He can do that. Praise God. Our first stop is in Romans, the third chapter, the 23rd verse. Romans 3:23. This is the first landmark on the Roman road. Here's what it says. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Get that. Mark it in yellow. Because right there is what I want to say. This is the first thing whenever you're talking about salvation. You have to realize you're lost. You have to realize it. For all have sinned. This country, we have certain historical landmarks in this country that we live in, right? We have them. And brothers and sisters, you know what? There's some of them possibly have seen, and some of them have been great tragedies have happened there. Great events in this country have happened to these landmarks. Bunker Hill, you know what? Plymouth Rock, Pearl Harbor, Gettysburg. And even newer is the Freedom Tower, where they stand. Romans 3:23 is an historical landmark in our Christian walk. Very historical, folks. It can be traced all the way back to the fall in the Garden of Eden. Whenever they fell, whenever Adam and Eve fell, that's when sin came into the world, folks. I want you to know, you will never be right with God based upon good works. Let's get them straight right now. Let's get them straight. I don't care what kind of good works you do. I don't care what all you do in this world down here. You could be the best Sue and Joe in the world. I don't know. You could do all manner of things. That is not why salvation is based on, because I just read to you, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Raise your hands, all of you, please. All of you. Every one of you here sinned. Me included. We've all sinned. And I'm not putting you down. I'm not trying to say. I'm just telling you. It's truth. It's Scripture. This is an historical landmark. It can be traced all the way. The phrase come short of the glory of God means that you've literally missed the mark. You've literally missed the mark. The word suggests an ongoing state of affair. Whenever you look at that, what it's saying is, it's not just that you missed it before, but it's continual in your life. You missed the mark. Continual. And you know what? It's hard to believe sometimes. The key to this verse is the word all. Did you get that? All. If you are here, you've sinned and come short. Let's break it down even further. Mean people, evil people, thieves, rapists, murderers, they've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, right? How many of you agree with me on that? Okay, let's see if you agree with me on this. Likewise, good people, kind people, compassionate people, charitable people, right? Right? Can you agree with me on that? Religious people, church-going people, All of these are not exempt from that verse of Scripture. For my Bible says all, everyone has sinned and come short of the glory of God. All have sinned. The Bible tells us in Proverbs 1:7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Folks, will you grasp the truth this morning? If you're sitting here this morning, and you do not know God, if you do not know Jesus as your personal Savior, I want to tell you something. You are in trouble this morning. Can you grasp that truth this morning? Because you are in trouble. You may not know it, you may not feel it that way, but I'm telling you, if you do not know Jesus as your personal Savior this morning, you are in trouble. Grasp that, because it's the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And I'm trying to give that to you. Will you admit to the fact that you are a sinner? That's the first landmark on the Roman road. You have to admit that you are a sinner. That's hard for people sometimes. Am I right? There are people out there that will not admit that they are a sinner, that there's anything wrong in their lives. They don't want to admit it. They feel that they're above and beyond all this. But according to God's word, they are not. They are not. It's the most important. Romans 3:23 is one of the most important verses in the Word of God. In order to grasp the process of salvation, in order for you to grasp it, brothers and sisters, you must first comprehend that you are a sinner. All right. The second landmark can be found in what I just read there a little bit ago in Romans 6:23. And it gives us, what it's talking about, if you want to look, put a title beside it, it's called the consequences. We find out that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. With God, there is consequences if you sin. Romans 6:23, the first part of it. For the wages of sin is death. The wages of sin. If you are sinning, if you are a sinner, and it's unrepented of, and Christ is not in your heart, there is going to be a consequence for your life, and that is death. And then we're talking both spiritual and physical. There's a natural death, which is the separation of the body and soul. There's a spiritual death, the separation of God and the soul. The idea in this verse is the second death. It's what he's talking about right here. What he's talking about right here in Romans 6:23, the first part of it, is whenever there's spiritual death between you and God. And I'll tell you what, whenever you were born into sin. That death is there. And that death will remain with you unless you accept Jesus as your personal Savior. That spiritual death is there. The consequences of which are eternal damnation. That's a consequence. And you know what? Lost spirits, and your spirit will be sent to the lake of fire. The Bible tells us that. That's your final destination. If you do not know Christ as your personal Savior, and you end up dying that way, your final destination is not the grave. Your final destination is the lake of fire. That's your final destination. Notice in this verse that in the scripture where it talked about how that the man, Jesus said that all these men had their wages. Remember, he said he started paying them in the morning, some in the later in the day, and some of them started complaining. Remember that? They started complaining, and Jesus said, listen, you got what you agreed to, right? Now listen to me. It goes both ways. If you believe in deathbed repentance, which I do, I believe that a man can be saved on his deathbed. I believe that. Then you have to believe also, you know, there's people who would say, well, why should you send somebody that's a good person? Why would God send anybody that's a good person to hell? I want to tell you this. Hell is not a place bad people are sent by God. Do you understand that? It's not. Hell is a place that people have worked hard to get to. They've overstepped the blood of Jesus Christ. They've overstepped His Word. They've overstepped all the preaching, all the testimonies. They've done all that. They may have been a good person all their life. They may have been. I don't know. I have seen some mighty fine people. I'm telling you. If you hadn't known anybody, you would have thought they were the best Christians in the world. But they never stepped foot in a church, would not acknowledge that Jesus is as their personal Savior. And I want to tell you this, and I believe this wholeheartedly, if they die that way, they've lifted up their eyes in a devil's hell. If you die without surrendering your heart and life to Jesus Christ, you will receive the wages that you are justly building up down through the years. That's what you're going to get. Jesus said in John 3:18, "He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." Amen. That's the reason. Right there is the reason that people find that their eternity is in hell. It's because they do not believe in God's only Son, Jesus Christ. That is the reason right there. We can also find frightening details of this in Revelations 20:15. "And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." Revelations 21:8 tells us, "But the fearful and the unbelieving," listen to that, the second word right there, "but the fearful and the unbelieving." Now look, listen to who they're clumped in with. "And the abominable and the murderers and the whoremongers and the sorcerers and adulterers and all liars." What do you say there? The unbelieving is clumped in with all these other people. Am I right? Then it goes on to say, "shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." It's in your book. You know what? I've given you first two landmarks right there. And they can be very disturbing. They can be. But as God always does, He gives you, like we talked about this morning, the way of escape. He does. Praise God for that this morning. But I want to continue on down, because landmark number three is hope. And that can be found in the second part of Romans 6:23. "But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Amen? There is where he's told you all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. He tells you the second part of Roman Road. He tells you that, you know what? For the wages of sin is death. So if you're a sinner, you got wages. But now he tells you, he said, "but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." He tells you how we can get out of this. The Greek is translated confident expectation. Whenever you see that there, whenever you see the language translated, it means confident expectation. I'm glad that I have a hope. I'm glad that I have a confident expectation that I have an eternal life and I have a home in heaven one of these days because of Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior. Not because of Drift Run Church. Not because of 14th Avenue Gospel Mission Church. Not because of any preacher I've listened to in the past. But you know, praise God for all that. But because I accepted Jesus as my Savior one day. And the reason we can possess hope is found in the second part of that verse. It said, "because the gift of God." Praise God. What's being described here is God's grace. Amen? Adrian Rogers one time wrote this out one time. I wanted to show you how he did this, because this is so great. He wrote grace, and whenever he did grace, he wrote it like this. And then out beside of it, it says, "God's riches at Christ's expense." Amen. Amen. We can have all of God's glory, all that He's given us, because Christ's expense. Amen. Because He sent His Son to die on the cross. That's what grace is. Praise the Lord. That's what it is. And I'll tell you something, brother says, praise God for that. Through the wages of sin and death, God made a way for us to escape the penalty. Amen. He made the way. He made it. Ephesians 1:7 tells us, "in whom we have redemption through His blood," amen, "through His blood, the forgiveness of sin according to the riches of His grace." Titus 3, 5-7, "not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life." Amen. I have a hope. How about you? Amen. How about you this morning? Adrian Rogers also did a thing for faith the same way. And I love this. Whenever I study for this, it says, whenever you write faith, you write it up and down like that. "Forsaking all, I trust Him." Amen? "Forsaking all, I trust Him." That's what faith is. Whenever we can put our trust, I said this, I think it was last Sunday night, the greatest faith anybody can have in this church is whenever you believe that God's will is best in your life. Amen? God, your will be done. Whatever comes, whatever flows my way, whatever comes my direction, I'm believing you for all of it. Because why? Because we've totally put our trust in a God right here in His Son, Jesus Christ. It's faith that activates the grace that God has provided you. Ephesians 2:8-9. For by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourself, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. When you forsake all and trust God's riches that Christ has spent, you will be delivered. You will be delivered from great sin debt that has been placed upon you back in the Garden of Eden. You are delivered from it. Praise God. I'll tell you what. You want to talk about the glory bumps? That goes up and down my spine like that. Because of that, because of what He's done. Landmark number 4 on the Roman road can be found in Romans 5:8. And this is what it said. But God commended His love towards us, that in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Amen. Romans 5:8. And that landmark is love. It says, so far, what have we seen? We've seen the wages of sin is death, and we come up short. The wages of sin is death. The gift of God is eternal life. But praise God. And you know what? Landmark says, the reason for God's, number one, is mercy, salvation, and hope. Right? But praise God. God's love, even while we were yet sinners. Even while you and I were yet sinners, God sent His Son to die on the cross for you and I. Isn't that something to shout about this morning, folks? If you're here this morning and you know Jesus Christ is your Savior this morning, right there is something for you to be able to shout about. Amen? You know what? Just no one is exempt from being a sinner. No one is exempt from the love of God. God sent His Son to die for all of us. No matter what. Oh, I read this story. This happened a few years back. In 1981, there was a guy out in California. He pulled into a gas station. He had a Volkswagen Beetle. And as he pulled into the gas station, he went in to pay for his gas that he had bought. And somebody stole his car while he was in the gas station. They took off with it. Well, they put out an all-points bulletin on every radio station about trying to get a hold of this guy that stole that car. And you know why? Because sitting on the front seat was a box of crackers that this guy had put rat poison in. He put it in because he's using it for rat traps, and he was taking it to his house at that time. Had it sitting on the front seat. This guy stole his car and had no idea what was sitting beside of him. This guy, and I thought, as I read that, I pulled up the newspaper article because I wanted to make sure this was true. It happened. It happened out in California. It does never say whatever happened to that guy stole that car. I don't know if they ever found him or not. But what the story was so interesting about was that the man who had the car was stolen was so worried about that guy. He wasn't even worried about his car. That he told the cops, he said, listen, and the cops had put out on every radio station, they'll never do that whenever this car is stolen like that. To try to find it so that guy would not be hurt. Would not be hurt. Folks, I'm going to tell you something right now. You know what? The owner of that guy loved him so much. Loved that guy, cared for that guy so much. He didn't want to see anything happen to him. You know what, folks? There are people today that are running from God today. Same scenario. They're running from God today, thinking that you are running to escape. You know what? His punishment. But you know what you're doing? You're exactly eluding the cure for your punishment. You're eluding it. Because you will not. Because the love is there. It's there for you. If we continue down on the Roman road, we find things keep getting better, folks. Landmark number 5 can be found in Romans 10:13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. This is a great opportunity. Can I say that to you here this morning? I want to offer you the greatest opportunity that you will ever have in your life. Whosoever call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I want to tell you something, though. When you call upon the name of the Lord, it's not your way. It's got to be called upon His way. Amen? I'm a preacher that believes that the Holy Spirit has to convict you. I believe the Holy Spirit is convicting you here this morning. and you call upon the name of the Lord, and you come to this altar, and you're, if you do it at your house, or wherever it may be, if the Spirit is convicting you and the Holy Spirit's doing that, and you call upon the name of the Lord, I'm a preacher that believes that Jesus Christ will save your soul this morning. I believe that. No one who comes will be turned away if you do it in His way. John 6:37 tells us, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. I'll tell you what, as a 16-year-old boy, whenever I was younger, I'll tell you what, the Spirit was dealing with me, and whenever I got on my knees, I'll tell you what, He didn't cast me out. He didn't do it. He come into my heart. The Spirit of God flooded my heart. I knew what happened. And praise God, I know what He can do for you this morning. And you say what it says? It says there, He shall be saved, is what it says. It said, the last part of that, Romans 10:13, the name of the Lord shall be saved. We have the opportunity. I think this is very important, folks. If you feel the conviction of the Holy Spirit this morning, I want to tell you this morning, drawing you, surrender your life to Him. Do not delay. Come to this altar. If you want to, come now. Don't wait. Genesis 6:3 tells us this. And the Lord said, My Spirit shall not always strive with man. And I want to tell you something. I believe that it has more than just a one-fold meaning. I believe that one of these days He's going to pull His Spirit out of this world whenever He comes back to take His church out of here. I believe it. I believe His Spirit is going to go. But I also believe this. He could be dealing with you and dealing with you. He only has to deal with you once. Do you understand that? He only has to. But some people He deals with over and over again. But there may come a point in time when you can continue to turn Him away, continue to say, get out of here, I don't need you. And what could happen? He may not deal with you anymore. He may not do it. You have the opportunity of a lifetime. Do not pass it up this morning if He is knocking on your heart. Do not do it. You may be here. You may be ready to seize the opportunity that I speak of. So then I ask you to travel with me to Romans 10:9 This is landmark number 6. What it tells us, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You know what believing from the heart means? The heart. It's not up here. Too many people try to think this thing out. Too many people try to take salvation and think it out and think it through. Salvation cannot be done that way. You have to believe with the heart. We are instructed to surrender to Jesus. This is done by confessing with the mouth. The word confess literally means to say the same thing about. To say the same thing about what? About Jesus as God said about Him. Right? That's what it means. And what did God say about Jesus? He said he was born of a virgin. His sinless nature, His lordship, His death on the cross, His bodily return, His ascension into glory, His intercessory work, and His second coming. That's what we have to. Whenever the Spirit comes into your life, you believe all these things about Jesus. Because why? Because God's already said them. All of these are essential to salvation. Amen? All of them are. You cannot select the part of these you like and don't like. All of them are essential to salvation. All of them are. In order to be saved, you must have the absolute finished work of Jesus Christ. You must believe in it. You must believe in everything of it. Praise God. You know, you've got to put your total trust in Him. Amen? I'll tell you something that truly concerns me. And I want to be really serious about with you this morning. There are those who are on the roll of churches across this country to somewhere today who have been dubbed into believing that because they have been baptized, because they've prayed a prayer or made some profession of faith, that they are truly saved. I want to tell you something. With the information that's found, what I've given you here today, I want to tell you something, folks. It's enough being involved in empty prayers and religious rituals, right? This is not what salvation is about. It's not what it's about. Jesus said, in order for His disciples, ye must deny yourself and take up your cross and follow Me. Salvation does not require sinless perfection. What it requires, though, is this. Listen hard. It requires and demands complete surrender. Amen? That's what salvation requires. That's what it is right there. That's what it demands. You know, I've heard it said here this morning, none of us are perfect. Oh, I know it's hard for you to believe your preacher's not perfect. I know that. I know it's hard to believe. I know my wife probably just not fainted right there. But I can tell you this, none of us are perfect. But you know what? We've got to be completely surrendered to Jesus Christ. Do you know beyond a shadow of a doubt this morning that you are saved? I want to ask you that this morning. I want you to think hard. I want you to look down inside your spirit, inside your soul. I want you to answer that question for yourself. I can't come back here and grab your hands and ask you to come up here because of what I think. As far as I know, everybody in this church here this morning is saved. But you know what? God knows the truth. Do you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you're saved? That if you would die, would you go to heaven? I want to ask you that. If you would die right here in your seat where you're sitting right now, would you go to heaven? Would you go there? Do you know that beyond a shadow of a doubt? Because I'll tell you what. Because if you do not know beyond a shadow of a doubt, it's right here, right up here. Do you know that? On this road, you'll find the landmark of truth. The landmark of consequences on it, right? I've done told you that. The landmark of hope. The landmark of opportunity, and there's the landmark of instruction, folks. Will you take that step this morning? If you're back here this morning and you do not know Jesus, will you feel free enough, the Spirit's dealing with you, to step out in this aisle? Come up here this morning. I guarantee you no one's going to make fun of you. No one. I don't care if you've been going to this church for 130 years. If you just started coming here, no one's going to make fun of you. What we want is for you to be part of the kingdom of God. Amen? The Roman road. Landmarks in it. Now, I want to ask you something. Did you see anything in there where it said thou hast to speak in tongues? Did you see anything in there where thou had to be baptized? Did you see anything in there of anything else? What did it say? That's the simple, basic truth of salvation right there. That's it. Come. He gives you to. Read it. Read it for yourself. Study it out for yourself and see. This is what God wants for us. They come and give a song.